Chapter 10. Machine Learning. The goal of machine learning is programs that can calculate a desired output from data input without being given an explicit recipe for how to do this. A typical application for machine learning is text recognition, turning handwritten text into typed text. This is hard, as we all write in different and often unclear ways, and our pens lose ink on the paper, which makes it damaged and dirty. Text recognition is not like playing board games, where we have recipes that work in theory but need heuristics to make them practical. We just do not know what a recipe for text recognition might be. This is where machine learning comes in. A machine learning program for text recognition would typically be trained by giving it many examples of handwritten numbers or letters, each with a label of the actual typed text. This kind of machine learning is called supervised learning and requires a lot of carefully chosen training data to be successful. Programs are usually trained with only a tiny percentage of the possible inputs and outputs, as we cannot show all the possible handwritten inputs. If we could, there would be no need for any machine learning techniques, as whenever our program was presented with an input, it would just look up the matching output. For machine learning, a program must be trained with only a small part of the total collection of training data. However, if the amount of data is too small, it may not provide enough information for the program to learn the right mapping from inputs to outputs. Another basic problem with training data is feature extraction. Suppose you work for a bank which wants a machine learning program to identify customers who are unsafe to lend money to, bad credit risks. The training data will probably provide lots of records of past customers, each with a good risk or bad risk label on them. The record will typically include a name, date of birth, address, income, and information about money paid in and out of the customer's bank account. But which features do you need to include in your training data? Some will be more important than others. If you include everything, this could lead to a problem called the curse of dimensionality. This means that the more features you include, the more training data you need to give the program, and the program will learn more slowly. However, if you only include a small number of features in your training data, you may accidentally leave out features needed to allow the program to learn correctly. Those that actually show a bad credit risk. If, for example, the only feature that you decided to include for your bad risk program was the customer's address, then this is likely to lead to a program bias against people living in certain areas. In reinforcement learning, we do not give the program any explicit training data. It experiments by making decisions and receives reports about them. For example, reinforcement learning is widely used to train programs to play games. The program plays the game and gets a positive report if it wins, or a negative report if it loses. Whether positive or negative, the report is called the reward and considered by the program next time it plays. A positive reward would make it more likely to play the same way again, a negative reward less likely to do so. A key difficulty with reinforcement learning is that rewards may take a long time to come, making it hard for the program to know which actions were good and which were bad. Suppose our reinforcement learning program loses a game. How does it or we know when it moved badly? One of the oldest and most successful machine learning techniques in AI is neural nets. This is based on the 100 billion neurons, each with thousands of connections, in the human brain. And the idea is to make the same kind of system in a computer program so that it can learn like a human brain. In the 1940s, US researchers Warren McCulloch and Walter Pitts realized that neurons could be modeled as electrical circuits or simple logical circuits. They used this idea to develop a basic but very general mathematical model. This model was improved in the 1950s by Frank Rosenblatt in the first neural net model to be actually used, called the perceptron model. In the perceptron model, each input has a number called its weight, W, and each input to the neuron is either active or inactive. If an input is active, then it stimulates the neuron by the corresponding weight. And each neuron has an activation threshold, which is another number, T. If the neuron is stimulated beyond its activation threshold, T, then it will make its output active. So if the total weights of all the inputs that are active is the same or bigger than T, then the neuron produces an output. Input 1, weight 1. Input 2, weight 2. Input 3, weight 3. Activation threshold. Output. A single neural unit in Rosenblatt's perceptron model. Of course, the neural nets that we see in nature contain many neurons, connecting in many different ways, so more complex perceptron models were developed. But research mostly concentrated on networks with a single layer, as nobody had any idea how to train neural networks with more than one layer. Rosenblatt found a technique for training neural networks to find the right weights and correctly map inputs to outputs for a simple perceptron model, which he called an error correction procedure. Although his approach always works, single-layer perceptron networks are limited, as they often cannot learn even simple relationships between inputs and outputs. Perceptrons with many layers do not have such limitations, but they remained only theory until 20 years later. A 1980s book called Parallel Distributed Processing, or PDP for short, changed this. It showed how to find out what the weights of the connections between neurons should be in neural nets with many layers. The solution was an algorithm called backpropagation, or backprop, probably the single most important technique in the field of neural nets. Backprop works by looking at cases where a neural net has made an error in classification, which appears at the output layer of the network. Imagine the network has been shown a picture of a cat, and the output layer has classified it as a dog. The backprop algorithm propagates the error backwards through each previous layer of the network, in a process called gradient descent. First, it maps the errors for each possible weight, then finds the sharpest drop in all stages of the map, from the present error down to the lowest error of all. This provides the fastest way to deal with the error. While PDP and backprop made a lot of new applications possible for neural nets, by the mid-1990s, progress had once again slowed because of the limitations of computers of that time, and other areas of machine learning seemed to be making fast progress. The big idea that drove the third stage of neural net research was called deep learning. Deep neural networks have more layers and more better connected neurons. But two further ingredients were required to make deep learning a success: data and computer power. The importance of data to machine learning can be seen in the story of the ImageNet project, the idea of a Chinese-born researcher, Feifei Li, working at the AI lab at Stanford from 2013 to 2018. Li decided that deep learning needed large, well-kept data collections against which new systems could be trained, tested, and compared. So she started the ImageNet project, a large online collection of what is now about 14 million digital photographs, which have been carefully classified into 22,000 different groups using an online dictionary called WordNet. This contains a large number of words classified, for example, as words that mean the same or opposite, and so on. An important moment for image classification came in 2012 when British-Canadian researcher Jeff Hinton and his team showed a system called AlexNet, a neural net that greatly improved image recognition in an international competition. But the final ingredient required to make deep learning work was computer processing power. A new type of computer processor, graphics processing units, GPUs, originally developed to deal with graphics problems in computer games, proved perfect for training neural nets. But for all their success, deep learning and neural nets still have limitations. The expert opinion of a neural network lies in its weights, corresponding to the links between neurons. As yet, we have no way of approaching or understanding this knowledge. A deep learning program that identifies an illness cannot explain its diagnosis. A deep learning program which decides not to lend money to a customer cannot tell you why it does so. Another key problem for deep learning is that it does not always work. It is possible to make small changes to images, which humans cannot see, but which lead to neural nets wrongly classifying them. Much more work is needed on the study of this issue, known as adversarial machine learning, as it could be very serious if, for example, a program in a driverless car were to wrongly classify road signs.